everyone had a very happy Thanksgiving. Good Thanksgiving, full of family and friends, and hopefully you didn't eat too much. Somebody clapped. They ate too much. Has anybody ever eaten too much on Thanksgiving? No, nobody's ever done that, right? No, nobody's ever done that. And so you know the thing is about that is that when you eat all of that food and you're eating, it tastes so good, you don't really realize how much you're eating. And then you get to a point and you look back and you're like, oh, how did I get here? What did I eat that made me so full? How did I get to this place where I'm so uncomfortable, so unhappy in my own skin? There's not enough room to hold all of this food. How many times do we get in our lives to a point where we look back, we're in a point and we say, how did I get here? How did I get here? Everything was going fine. My relationship with God was clicking. My job was great. But right now I'm in this season where I can't really feel him, or I can't really talk to him that well, or I'm not in a good place, I'm just not in a good position. How did I get here? How did I get here? How did I get here? More often than not, when we look back and try to figure out how did we get here, we can look at our heart and we can see exactly what the problem was. 9 times out of 10, it's a condition of the heart that leads us to the position that we are at that point in time. So I'm going to tell a couple stories today to hopefully bring home and bring to life and bring to your mind how it is that we can guard our heart. How it is that we can guard our heart, and then in the spirit of thanksgiving, you are what you eat. Amen. So we're in a story, and today's story is going to center around this guy. His name is Solomon. And Solomon had a son. His name was David. Now, if you don't know who Solomon was one of the wisest people. He's the wisest king. He's the wisest person to walk the earth besides Jesus Christ himself. And Solomon, as David's son, was about to take over the throne. And David was on his deathbed, telling him, you know, this is the family business that you have to take care of. Before he went into the family business, one of the things that he told them is, look, you must follow God with all your heart. You must teach your descendants to follow God with all their heart. And if you teach them to follow them with all of your heart, then guess what? You will always have someone on the throne. You will always have a king on the throne. We will always rule. But you must follow God with all of your heart. So we're at the point in the story now where David now has his own sons. And he's telling them. He's actually fulfilling what David told him to do. He's doing what David told him to do. And he's teaching them. And his book of Proverbs is a list of things that he's telling his sons to do and not to do. How to be wise and how to look for understanding and value wisdom above all else. And he gets to this point where he's telling his sons one specific thing that we're going to focus on today, and it has to do with the heart. So meet me, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation is also on the screen. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen very carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. I read that key verse one more time so it sticks in our mind. He says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So Solomon is getting to this point where he's giving his son this wisdom, this knowledge. He's trying to teach him, how is it that you can live a life that is pleasing to God? If you stay on this path and you take the words that I'm telling you to heart, these are the words from the life that I've lived and the wisdom that I've consumed from living this life and what God has taught me. And if you take these words to heart, then it will give you life. Guard your heart, because when you put these words in your heart, you're going to have to protect them. So he knows a couple of things. He knows several things, as a matter of fact, which is why he's telling his son to guard his heart. To guard his heart. Now, before we get into that, I want to ask you, what is the definition of the heart? What is your heart? What is your heart? Is your heart, here's a little quiz to jumpstart the mind, A, an organ in your chest, duh. B, a place where all of the feels live. All of the feels. Does anybody here know what the feels are? Anybody kind of, yeah. It's like a millennial term. It's like short for feeling. If you didn't know what that was, that's what that is. A place where all of the feels live. That thing right there. Or where the desires and emotion come from. And thought and intent and action begins. This is how we're going to define it today. Is actually D, where the desires and emotion come from, and the thought, intent, and action begins. This is what drives what you do, and this is what Solomon was saying. So why did he say these things? Why did he say these things? Well, I believe that the first reason why he said these things is that many things that we come into contact with affect the heart. Now, it's not everything. I mean, inanimate objects don't affect the heart, but many things that we come with, that we come into contact with, actually affect our heart. From the movies that we decide to watch, the music that we decide to listen to, the advice that we decide to take, the friends that we decide that we want to hang out with, the people that we decide to associate with, the things that we decide to do, many things come into contact and have some effect on the heart, both negative and positive. And Solomon knew this. Solomon knew this. And I believe some of us know this too. We learned this as a child. I'll give you a story. Maybe the children can kind of identify with this. So it's movie night with the family. And you guys are watching a movie on the screen. It's not necessarily a Disney movie. It's a movie. You think it's a family movie. And it's something that, you know, your mom's right here, your dad's right here. You're sitting in the middle and everybody's enjoying themselves. Big bucket of popcorn in the middle. And then all of a sudden, there's a scene that starts to, you know, the things start happening in the movie that start to lead up to a scene. And so, you know, you feel your parents getting a little uncomfortable, like, are they really going to show this scene right here? Are they really going to put this thing? I don't know if this is such a good idea to watch this movie. But then they rock with it anyway. They're like, I don't know, give them the benefit of the doubt, we're not going to do that. And so the scene starts to come up, and then the first thing that they do is, no, right here, right in front of your eyes. Hopefully they stop before they hit you in the face. But they cover your eyes. They cover your eyes. And then later on in the movie, they've covered your eyes. You've not seen them. You've not seen it. You don't know what happened. You as a kid are oblivious. You just don't know what, maybe there were a shoe and a fly or something like that. You don't know. And then so the words that are being chosen in the script and that they're talking in the script are leading up to a couple of words that you shouldn't really be having in your mind to say. And so, what do? Cover your ears. So your parents censor what you take in through your eyes and through your ears, because they know that you can't handle that. You're not mature enough to filter that out, because it will affect you. And if you know what it is and you didn't know what it is before, then you'll have more curiosity and you'll explore it more. And that's not such a horrible idea once you get a little older to understand and to filter those things out for yourself. But how much can we take cues from that? If we're not guarding our heart, and Solomon knew this, if we're not guarding our heart, then some of the things that can come into our eyes and some of the things that can affect us that we listen to can have a tremendous effect in our heart, whether or not we realize it. Now, how good of a job do we do as adults or as teens, or how good of a job do we do doing the same thing that our parents did to us, yet on our own? Solomon knew another thing. He knew that everything that we do comes from our heart. It is a reflection of the condition of our heart. And as a reflection of the condition of our heart, it could either be something that's good. You ever run into somebody and you're like, oh, I can see that that person is just a light. They say all the good things, and they say and they have such a positive vibe about them. But then you have some things that come out of people, and you can tell the condition of their heart by the way that they live. And so Solomon says, look, you must guard your heart above all else, because everything that you do will come from your heart. So for this point and the next point, I want to tell a story. So to set the story up, got to remember, this is a time where Jesus was teaching, and the religious leaders at that time, they were called the Pharisees. And they were given and handed down through generations the laws of Moses. These were the things that Moses said. These are the things that you do. This is how we please God. And so one of the things that they used to do is they used to cherish their time in the temple. If you couldn't get access to the temple, you couldn't get close to God. If you couldn't get access to the temple, if for whatever reason you were not allowed in the temple, if you were unclean for whatever reason, you had to go through some process, some purification process, to make sure that you could go with a clean heart and a clean mind and a clean body and a clean everything else, to make sure that you could enter the temple and not defile anything in the temple. So what they used to do is they used to set up some laws that were not inside the laws of Moses, and they used to guard them like they were the laws from God. And then so we get to the part of the story where the disciples actually are coming in and they're about to eat a meal. They're about to sit down and they're about to eat. And they've been out all day. And they come down, they sit at the table, and they start to eat. And the religious leaders are like, wait a minute. One of the things that we put in place is a ritual hand washing. You don't want to accidentally have touched a dead body or something like that, or, you know, touch something and made yourself unclean, and then now you're eating things and you're making the inside of your body unclean, and now you can't enter the temple. So what you have to do is you have to go wash your hands. Why do you guys not do this? You should know this. And so Jesus says, look, he says a lot of things, and he says, look, you guys put these laws in place as if they're laws from God, but they are not. They are not laws from God. What you guys are actually doing is you're elevating your own man-made laws above what God wants you to do. It's not what you eat and put in your body. It's what defiles you. But it's what comes from your heart that defiles a man. It's what comes from your heart. And so he goes on to list all the things that are signs of a heart that is not in line with God. Impurity, lust, desire, jealousy, strong desire to get drunk, and emotions that would elicit you to anger. These are the things that show that you have a heart that is not in a right condition to be in connection with God. So what was his point? What was his ultimate point besides that? His point was this. I could set up all these laws, but if your heart is not right with God, even though you're following all those laws, it doesn't matter. Because your heart is what matters to God the most. Your heart is the thing that's in connection to God. Your heart is the thing that's in relation to him. Your salvation actually starts in your heart. Paul says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, then you will be saved. And a heart that is not in line with God is a heart that can't possibly have a right relationship with him. And so Jesus knew this. And so he comes to the Pharisees and he says, look, all these things that you try to follow are all great, but they don't do anything to actually influence your heart. So Solomon knew this, and he passes these lessons on to his son. Many of the things that we come into contact with affect the heart. Everything we do comes from the heart. And the final point is God places value on your heart. He places value on your heart over all of the other actions or things that you can follow. Those are an outflow from your heart, but he wants your heart. He wants your heart. So what does it mean to guard the heart? What does it mean to guard the heart? This is what Solomon is teaching his son, but how do we do it? Well, let's take a look at things that can actually affect the heart so that we are equipped with what we need to know and what we need to see and identify with what we should be looking out for in terms of protecting our heart. Now, the first thing that we have, and I actually have an illustration up here to prove the point. This is Thanksgiving. So you are, or you feel like sometimes, what you eat. Such as the heart is what it eats. So I have with me three things that you eat. Now, the first thing that we need to recognize is that there are things that are incredibly unhealthy for our heart. Now, I personally love these cheesy puff delights right here. And I'll tell you why. For a couple of reasons. One, you can guarantee that in this bag there is not 40% air and 20% cheesy puff goodness. They always pack the bag with the cheesy puff goodness. The other reason is that I love the fact that there's, you know, you get the cheese on your fingers and you get to kind of lick the cheese off of your fingers. At the end, it's like a snack that keeps on giving. But then at the end of the day, I gotta ask myself, look, as much as I love this, this is why I don't keep this stuff in the house. As much as I love this, if I eat this whole bag, I think someone's in the audience that wants to eat the whole bag. If I eat this whole party-sized bag, how many of you would agree that this would be incredibly unhealthy for me? Yeah, incredibly unhealthy for me. If I read off the back of the contents, there's 250 milligrams of sodium. I can't even pronounce half of those words. If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it, right? So, but if I eat this thing right here, it's incredibly unhealthy for me. And the way that the body absorbs all of these things that are in there doesn't really do a lot for me. As a matter of fact, if I continue to have a diet where I'm only eating big bags of cheesy goodness, you'll see my body change. I'll feel my body change. I won't feel as energetic, or I'll feel a little sluggish. I won't be able to react, and my muscles will start to not be fed what they need to be fed if my diet is only this. So the same thing goes for how we feed our heart. And this is what we can categorize as unhealthy in terms of what feeds our heart. Anything that feeds our sinful nature is unhealthy for our heart. Anything that feeds our sinful nature is unhealthy for our heart. How do I know whether something is feeding my sinful nature? Well, the Bible gives a lot of clear examples of what to do and what the outcomes of an impure heart are, and some good, very good guidelines. As a matter of fact, I can tell you it'll benefit every area of life that you're living in. But some of the things that we go through on a daily basis, you can't find those words exactly in the Bible, right? It doesn't tell you what music to listen to. It doesn't tell you what movies to watch or who to listen to or what advice to take. Or it doesn't tell you any of those things. So how do we know that whether those things are healthy for our heart or not? If those things would produce in us a desire to fulfill our sinful nature, then they are unhealthy for us. So we have to watch the diet that we have in our heart. We have to watch that diet. We have to watch it. We have to guard our heart. Now, I shouldn't be eating this big size of cheesy puff goodness, but, you know, every once in a while, if I have a balanced diet, I can probably munch on one of these. Now, this is a smaller version of this. This is not too bad. Not too bad, right? So, has a lot less of the stuff that I was reading on the back of... Oh, no, it doesn't, actually. Wow. It has a lot less of what is in this big bag. if I eat the whole bag, if I eat the whole contents. So sometimes we have these things in our life where it's like we really can't really say whether it's healthy for our heart or not. Really can't really tell. There's nothing in the Bible that says, hey, this is healthy for your heart, this is unhealthy for your heart. They're just things, right? Let me give you an example. So you're on your cell phone. We're on your cell phone. Cell phones are excellent devices. It connects you with everything that you need to be connected to. But sometimes it connects you to too much. Sometimes you're connected to it too much. Sometimes it takes away from the time that you can spend with the people that you love. When you wake up in the morning and the first thing that you do, I'm guilty. The first thing that you do is grab your phone and check to see what's going on. Did you talk to God yet? Did you read any of his word yet? Do you know what he wants for your life yet? And so this in and of itself is not a bad thing. News to feed you is not a bad thing. But too much of anything is unhealthy. So if there are things that I'm consuming in the news media that is feeding my fear, well, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. If there are things that I'm consuming in my device that are welling up inside of me, a desire to feed my sinful nature, well, then that makes this something that I really should put down more often than I pick up. And it's particularly discouraging when I'm seeing, this is a little bit off, but when I'm seeing kids spending more time on this than they are at being kids. And I'm starting to see it more and more and more and more and more to where you're having your children in front of a device or in front of something feeding them. But are you aware of the content that you're giving them? So look, I'm not saying that certain types of things are necessarily bad or good. I'm not saying that, you know, some type of music that doesn't specifically talk about Jesus is neither bad or good, right? Jazz doesn't talk about that, right? It's just music. But too much of anything that seems seemingly innocent, we have to ask, what is the long-term effect of doing that in our lives? What are we feeding our heart? What are we feeding our heart? Now, the last thing I have is something that I found when I was in high school. Absolutely fell in love with them. This is pomegranate. All types of healthy antioxidants and good things for your actual physical heart. There's a whole bunch of properties in here that will keep you healthy. Very good. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I love them. And I will tear it open right now and eat it if I wasn't up here. I've actually been dying to eat that. I've had that for a couple days. This is an example of the types of things that we should be feeding our heart. So let's take it back to the scripture. Let's take it back. In the book of Colossians, Paul is telling a church that is a church plant. He's encouraging them. And some of the things that he's saying is there are people who will tell you that in order to, in this case, guard your heart, or in order to fall in line with what God is saying, in order to be good Christians, there are some people who are taking relics from the Jewish faith, and they're forcing you to follow all of those laws. They're forcing you to follow all of those laws. There are do's, and there are don'ts, and there are these things, and they're placing a whole bunch of a big burden on you. But guess what? Guess what? These rules may seem wise because they require a lot of devotion and self-sacrifice, but they do absolutely nothing on changing your heart. They do nothing on changing your heart. Now, does it mean that you shouldn't love your neighbor? That's one that you should do. That is a good fruit to feed your heart. But does it mean that we take don't lie and just throw it out? No, that's not what it means. But what it means is that if we're so good at telling the truth, but we are horrible at not having jealousy built up in our heart, then guess what? Telling the truth all of the time, 100% of the time, did nothing to guard our heart against that jealousy. So I can give you a whole list of do's and don'ts. I can give you a whole bunch of good things that you should eat that will give you life and give you strength and all types of things that I can that you should do and not do and stay away from. But guess what? Even if you did all of those things, absent the Holy Spirit, absent the influence of Jesus Christ, your heart will still be vulnerable. So what I'm about to say is not giving you a list of do's and don'ts. But we must remember that even though that those things are meant to support a good and healthy relationship with God, it's not the thing that builds it. It is a condition of a healthy heart. It is a condition of a healthy heart. So let's go back to Proverbs. After Solomon tells his son to guard his heart with everything that he's got, because everything that he does comes out of it, he gives him some final advice, and I'll read this for you. It says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now, what does all of that mean? I pull one word out of that that I think that we can follow. One word out of that. Be intentional. Be intentional. What do I mean? Solomon told him to intentionally guard his mouth. It was implied in there. It didn't say it, but he told him to guard his mouth. He told him to lay a straight foundation for the paths of his feet. He told him that he had to stay on the straight path and not get distracted. They all require intentional thought. It just doesn't happen by accident. These types of things just don't happen by accident. So guarding your heart doesn't just happen by accident. We have to choose what to feed ourselves. Sometimes it's easier to pick this up than it is to pick this up. But we have to choose. We have to make a choice. So how do we make that choice? How do we make that choice? The first thing I think we can do in order to make that choice is to remain a people of prayer. We have to pray. What does prayer do in this instance? There's a lot of things that go on in prayer. I'm going to be very specific. Prayer gives us an opportunity to examine the position of our heart. It gives us an opportunity to ask God, God, how is my heart? How is the condition of my heart? What does my heart look like? Is there anything in my heart that is unclean? Please forgive me for those things and take it away from me. We have to be a people of prayer. We have to also control what we think. We have to control what we think. There's many things that come and they bombard us and they come in through our eyes and they come in through our ears and they affect how we think. We have to be intentional on choosing to think about the things of God. To another church, Paul says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We have to choose to think about the things of heaven. We have to choose to think about the things that Jesus taught us and how to live. We have to choose to feed our heart the good things that would keep it safe. We have to feed our heart with what God says. We have to feed our heart with what God says. The Bible says in many places that the words that God says that we should deposit them in our heart. As a matter of fact, the psalmist wrote, your word have I hid in my heart so that I don't sin against you, so that I don't do things that would make you unhappy. And he's talking to God. So we can take the same lesson, the same cue. Your words have to be hidden. God, your words have to be hidden in our heart. And we have to intentionally choose to deposit those things into our heart. And then finally, what are we feeding others? What are you depositing into others? When you come into contact with somebody as a believer in Jesus Christ, what are you feeding into them? If they are a believer, then are we sowing and are we agreeing on things of the Spirit? Or are we talking about things that would gratify our flesh? When we are with those who don't just believe yet, they've heard about Jesus, but they're still wrestling with making their decision, are we laying the foundation to be able to lead them one day to Christ? Or are we allowing them to influence us more than we influence them? What are we depositing into people's heart? You wouldn't want anybody to deposit anything in your heart that shouldn't be there. So we should take the same lesson and not deposit anything in anyone else's heart. So I'm done. I'm done. In closing, guarding your heart is a full-time job. It is not something that we can take lightly. It's not something that we can just do automatically on our own. It's something that it takes practice. It's something that takes intention. It's something that we have to make sure that while we're living this life, we remind ourselves of this daily. It's one of those things that is so simple, but it's hard to do. It's such a simple concept, but it's not easy to carry out. We have to guard our heart. How can we do that? How can we make sure that we guard our heart? Look, you can't do it by yourself. If there's anything that we learn as people who follow Jesus, is that he teaches us that we need to depend on him at all times. There's nothing that we can do that would completely keep us away from sin. But there's something that he can do. There's something that he can do. And we have to trust him, number one, to protect us from those things that would keep our heart in the dark. And the second thing is, while we strive for perfection, we won't always achieve it. We'll try to keep the things out of our heart that shouldn't be there, but you know what? Something's going to get in, and it's just because of who we are. We're a part of a world that's not redeemed yet. We're part of a world that God has not cleansed yet. And so what ends up happening is we think it's going to be perfect, but when we mess up, we have such guilt about us. But you know what? God's grace comes in. And where God's grace comes in, it's able to tell us, look, I know that you can't do that on your own, but your heart is bent towards me. And as long as you repent of those sins, that you are forgiven. And that is the message of why we follow Jesus. We are in a broken, fallen world as we stand on our feet. We're in a broken, fallen world. There are many things that try to influence us. There are many things that can influence us and in fact do. Now we have a leg up. We know who Jesus is. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us if we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But there are people who don't. There are many people who don't. And we come into contact with those people. So I offer an invitation. I don't want to ever take any assumptions. I offer an invitation. If you're examining your heart and you know that there are things in your heart that you'd rather not be dealing with, you're struggling with something. There's something that you just can't get rid of. And you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know that saving, cleansing power. I invite you to come. Come learn about how he can wash you all the way clean. Come learn about how he can help you guard your heart. And if there is nobody, let's pray. Let's pray for those people who we know that don't know Jesus yet. Let's pray for their heart. Let's pray that we get the opportunity to show them who Jesus is. The second invitation is for a heart who may not be in right standing. It's a heart that's taken a couple of steps backwards. You can't feel God right now because your relationship with him is a little broken because of the condition of your heart. But I promise you, if you ask God to show you what you do need to do to change, that he's right there waiting for you to ask him. So if there is one, and you know that your heart needs to be tuned back into God, I invite you to come. First invitation is for salvation. The second invitation is for those whose heart needs to be tuned back into God. And the last invitation is for those who feel that this is a place where you can continue to develop your heart. This is where you feel like the people who are here, the people who are surrounding you, the the familial vibe that you feel is somewhere where you want to continue to develop as a disciple in Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. Let's look to God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for being there with us, here with us today. Lord, we ask as we examine our own hearts that you come inside and show us the places that either we do not see or refuse to see. God, show us the darkness inside of ourselves that can only be illuminated by your light. None of us here are perfect, and every one of us has one of those things. So God, we examine our hearts before you right now, and we offer them as a sacrifice so that you can come in and clean. Lord, point out the things that would make us, that would make our hearts clean, God, and help us to depend on you to guard our heart. That we don't knowingly take on the influences and feed it the junk food, but God, we would fill it with the things that are healthy, that will make it vibrant and grow. Lord, we love you and we honor you for bringing us here right now. Lord, we thank you for making a path through your son, Jesus Christ, that our hearts may be in right standing with you. The hope of salvation that brings us to eternal life, to live the rest of our days in your presence. Lord, we love you and we honor you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Another round of applause, please. Thank you, Chris. You may be seated. One of the things that we do here at Harvest, we also support our ministerial students. And right now is an opportunity for us to do that. I'm sure that Chris has labored all week and probably before that, studying and showing himself approved. And I think he did that clearly today. Don't you agree? Amen. Amen. So we want to show our support to encourage Chris and be there as his cheerleader also, in addition to his lovely wife, Sharon. We want to make sure that Chris knows that we're supporting him. So now we're going to take up an offering. And this is not a salary. This is for Chris to continue, and like I said, encourage him to buy the materials they need, to do the things they need to do to prepare to be even more used by God. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to show our love and support by offering, giving our gifts to Chris. Amen? Let's just say a prayer for Chris and Sharon as they continue to march in the direction God has called them. God, continue to use Chris and also Sharon, Lord, as a couple, Lord God, as servants to serve you, Lord God. We pray that we would take what was given to him, Lord God, that we would feed it to our hearts, Lord God, that we might be better servants to serve you. Help us to guard it, to pray, Lord God, throughout this week, to watch what we bring into it and watch what we allow to come into it. Let your Holy Spirit have its way this week. In Jesus' name, amen.